Welcome to Nelson and your audio guide to the Dress Circle Walk. We will refer to the site numbers on the Dress Circle Walk map and landmarks along the way. Download your map from www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. This walk is one of a series of heritage walks developed by the Nelson City Council. The area includes some of the grand houses from Nelson's early settlement. Much of the information in this guide comes from research given by current owners of the properties along the route and the PROW website, which contains a wealth of stories about the top of the South Island. Privately owned properties can only be viewed from the footpath. Melrose and Fairfield House are community run and available for viewing in part or whole. Please contact their resident managers if you want to look around inside. There are some moderate slopes included in this walk, and comfortable walking shoes are recommended. Associated heritage walks which cover areas adjacent to this walk include Nine Near Nile, around the Nile and Manuka Street area, Melrose Garden Walk and the Trevor Horn Trail, which covers sites around the cathedral. All walks are available on the Nelson City Council website.
Our walk starts at the Information Centre in Miller's Acre. You may choose to walk the 15 minutes up the hill to our first point of interest at Fairfield Park, or there is ample parking by the park should you choose to drive. To walk, cross Trafalgar Street at the traffic lights and proceed along Trafalgar Street towards the cathedral on Church Hill, directly ahead. Walk up the church steps and through the picturesque cathedral grounds and continue up Trafalgar Street south behind the cathedral. Continue along the footpath across Examiner Street and past Nelson College for Girls on your right until you reach Brougham Street. Veer right into Fairfield Park and take the first gravel path on your left.
In 1851, what is now Fairfield Park was known as the Trafalgar Street Cemetery and has over 78 people buried here. It was also known as Copenhagen Mount and Trafalgar Street South Cemetery. The cemetery closed in January 1910. The Wakapuaka Cemetery opened in 1861 to become the main cemetery for the city. This piece of land eventually became known as Fairfield Park in 1963. Most of the headstones have long gone, but the history of the gravestones for seven early settlers is noted on the interpretive panel in the centre of the park. Early gravestones can be found in an informal way along side paths under trees. When you take the left-hand gravel path on entering the park, you will see the grave of the Reverend Charles Sada, who was born in Carcassonne, France, in 1839. After doing missionary work among Maori in Auckland, he was travelling to take up new work in Akaroa, Canterbury, but developed consumption and died at the Catholic station in Nelson, aged only 28 years. Clusters of family graves sit within wrought iron fences, such as the McGee and Otterson families.
Continue along the gravel path until you reach the headstone of Thomas Rollinson and Margaret Dorcas, which includes the inscription, "Drowned at Awaroa." Until bridges were built, river crossing accidents were a frequent cause of death. Take the external footpath by the road at this point to continue up the rise to the parking area and picnic table beneath the trees. See the recently refurbished headstone of Neil McVicker, which is number one on your map.
Neil McVicker was born in Glasgow, Scotland, in 1808. He was a nurseryman in Bath in the United Kingdom, where his first wife Mary, the mother of William and John, died. He emigrated to Nelson from England in 1849 on the barque Cornwall. His second wife, Margaret, and infant son, Wishart, died on the voyage. Neil built the original dormered four-room cottage where Fairfield House stands today. He established a large orchard behind his home of some 500 fruit trees, which included 30 varieties of apples, as well as shrubs and some forest trees. Neil developed a nursery supplying fruit trees, choice shrubs, oaks, elms, poplars and cypresses to the early pioneers. The Nelson Examiner of 1852 records that he won prizes for his rose blooms. After only 4 years in New Zealand, he died, leaving his remaining sons, William and John, orphans. They both moved to Blenheim and trained to become builders and cabinet makers. It seems only fitting that Neil was buried here under a simple headstone facing his home, nursery and orchard.
Across the road, nestled at the foot of the Grampians, is number 2 on your map, Fairfield House, which has a 7-acre woodland around the house, planted mostly by the Atkinson family. Behind this are the Grampians, a wonderful natural reserve with well-marked trails to enjoy. See the information boards in Collingwood Street for more trail information.
Fairfield House has a Category 1 Historic Places Trust listing. It was built in two stages between 1872 and 1883 for Maria and Arthur Atkinson. Many heritage-listed trees in the grounds today were planted at this time. Maria was active in the suffragette movement and promoted education for girls. Arthur was a prominent lawyer and a keen astronomer, asked by the Royal Society of London to be an official observer of the transit of Venus in September 1882. A replica tower replaces the original, where Arthur's 5-inch reflector telescope was once mounted. Arthur was a linguist, studying Māori in particular, as well as other Polynesian and Melanesian languages. He was also an arachnologist, earning him the name Spider Atkinson. Arthur died in 1902 and Maria in 1914, and both are buried at Wakapuaka Cemetery. In 1922, the Atkinson daughters sold Fairfield to the Nelson College Council of Governors, and it was used as a preparatory school and boarding house for Nelson College for Girls. A dormitory block for the college girls, consisting of open-air cubicles, was built on the terrace above Fairfield House in 1926 and housed 24 girls and their matron for the next 4 years. After the Murchison earthquake, July 1929, the Nelson Boys College took over Fairfield House. It was used by the Fell House boarders until 1964, when they moved to a new hostel at the school. In 1976, the house was in disrepair and demolition was imminent after a fire had destroyed the accommodation block. In 1979, Alan Stanton and Friends of Old Fairfield were able to halt the demolition, and Fairfield stands today as the result of this community activism. Their dedication to their vision has seen the house and grounds restored to their former glory, and the Friends continue to fund and develop Fairfield House and Reserve as a community asset.
Walk downhill across Melrose Crescent to see the driveway of Melrose House. The house is partially hidden by the dense tree cover around the perimeter of the grounds, and a number of heritage trees can be found here. More detail about the house and garden are on the information board near the house. Walk up the driveway or take the path on the left of the drive to walk across the lawn. Melrose House is a Category 1 New Zealand Historic Place.
Melrose House is a grand mansion of the late 1800s. The house was designed by architect John Scotland for Charles Fowell Willett Watts and his wife Elizabeth Nixon. Charles Watts arrived in Nelson on the Will Watch in 1841 as a survey cadet employed by the New Zealand Company. He was involved in surveying the Brook, Maitai and Takaka valleys, and in 1844 helped find a route to the Wairau Valley via Pelorus. Their first child, Charles Alexander, was born in November 1851, and they went on to have two more sons and four daughters. The name Melrose was probably chosen because one of his daughters, Flora, was born at Melrose Place, Clifton, in England, but died in Nelson, aged only 11. A subsequent daughter named Frances went on to marry Nelson lawyer Percy Bolland Adams from a well-known Marlborough farming family. Percy and Frances took over Melrose House and had one son named Noel Percy Adams. Percy loved trees and the outdoors, and we owe it to him that today we can still enjoy the garden and tree plantings made in the 1890s. Melrose House ceased to be a family home when it was gifted to the Women's Division of the Farmers Union in 1944. Possibly as Noel's wife Eileen was prominent in this organisation. As early as 1934, the Women's Division of the Farmers Union had expressed a desire to establish a rest home in Nelson. But it wasn't until the June quarterly meeting of the Nelson Executive that the first official announcement was made of the proposed gift from the Colonel and Mrs. Noel Adams. 10 years later, on March the 24th, 1944, Melrose was officially presented to the Union. The ceremony took place at a garden party in Nelson Sunshine when Colonel Adams expressed his regret that his wife, through illness, was unable to be present to see the culmination of her months of effort to put Melrose in readiness for its new purpose. Many branches of the Union fundraised to provide Melrose House with the necessities and needs associated with running a rest home. Women from rural New Zealand were able to take time out from busy farm and country life to enjoy the serenity and peacefulness of Melrose. It was also a haven for women from out of town to stay before and after the birth of their babies. In 1959, a portion of the ground was sectioned off to create Melrose Terrace. Eventually, due to high running costs and maintenance, the decision was made to relinquish Melrose in 1973. On doing so, the original trust deed provided that the house and gardens be given to the citizens of Nelson. The Nelson City Council at first declined the gift, feeling it would be a burden to ratepayers. But after much debate, it was finally accepted in 1975. The Colonel Noel Percy Adams Trust, otherwise known as the Melrose Society, was formed by volunteers who took on the responsibility to raise funds to preserve and oversee the daily running of the house, with the council taking care of the gardens. Today the gardens are flourishing and the house is being preserved beautifully. Melrose has a resident manager and it is proving a very popular venue for weddings, meetings, functions and family celebrations.
Leave Melrose via the Broome Street exit. The giant tree to your right is a redwood planted around 1890. Continue to your right along Broome Street to Richmond Avenue. The slate roof of 19 Richmond Avenue, number 4 on your map, can be glimpsed between 36 and 34 Broome Street. But this historic house is best seen from Richmond Avenue. It's a private residence, not open to the public.
Broham Street was probably named after the Broham, a bark-carrying immigrants which arrived in Nelson in March 1842. Lord Brougham was a Lord Chancellor of England in Grey's ministry of 1830. Although now a quiet residential street, an early map of Nelson had planned for army barracks at one end and a house of correction at the other. This historic house has a Historic Places 2 rating. When it was built, it was situated in Brougham Street on section 199 of the original town plan. Later, a two-storey house was built next to it, nearer Brougham Street, and the entrance to the original house on this property had to be accessed from the Upper Richmond Avenue extension and was given the number 19. It is one of the earliest homes in Nelson, and in the late 1850s, Dr. Thomas Renwick and Adeline, his wife, made it their home, and a charming sketch of the house by J.W. Saxton is held by the Nelson Provincial Museum. Dr. Thomas Renwick arrived in Nelson in October 1842, and apart from being a doctor, he ventured into many fields, including an interest in a brewery, which he sold to a Mr. Dodson. In 1849, he was granted a lease to farm blocks in the Awatere district, although continuing to live in Nelson. When Adeline died in 1870, the doctor married Anne Smith, and they moved out of the house in the late 1870s to a residence which is now on part of Nelson Central School's land. The Richmond Avenue house became then known as Holker House when William Holker and his family moved in after their arrival in New Zealand from Lancashire in 1886 on the ship Tongariro. William set to work to establish a vinegar manufactory in Wymere Road, described in glowing detail in the Nelson Evening Mail in December 1887. Apparently he was quite inventive, and in his advertisement he notes his patented design for a fermenting vat for vinegar, which ensured its clarity and quality. Another article in 1892 refers to a new industry when he erected a shot tower to manufacture leaden shot of all sizes. His son, William Jr., was educated at Nelson Boys and was a talented musician, and then went on to become a well-known architect in Nelson. Inventive like his father, he invented a product called decrete, which was a type of timber and concrete construction. A gifted painter, he studied art under H.W. Kirkwood, who in turn had been a student of John Gully, and his drawings can be found in the Nelson Provincial Museum archives. He designed a number of well-known Nelson buildings. These included the Marsden Church House, the Hotel Nelson, the stonework for the Nelson College for Girls Gates, and with Rickstrit, the original Nelson College scriptorium. His brother James was a lawyer who unfortunately died young at Gallipoli in 1915.
Return to Brougham Street and continue a short way to an imposing white house with black details at 36 Brougham Street, number 5 on your map. This is another private residence.
Sir Jack Newman and Lady Myrtle lived for many years at 36 Brougham Street, which was built in 1925. And has a Historic Places Trust Category 2 rating. Sir Jack Newman was born in July 1902 at the family farm Naumai at Brightwater near Nelson, the eldest son of Christina and Tom Newman. His father Tom was a co-founder with his brother Harry of the Newman Brothers coaching firm. Jack started school at Spring Grove and went on to attend Nelson College. He married Myrtle Thomas in the Nelson Cathedral in 1926. Jack's father, Tom, bought his brother Harry's shares in Newman Brothers when Harry died and asked his son, Jack, to join the firm. Jack started as a driver, eventually becoming a director. Newman's also provided a mail service and were very resourceful when services were disrupted. After the 1929 Murchison earthquake, services to Buller and the West Coast were maintained by creating an alternative route to Reefton for 17 months. This went down the Matakitaki Valley, where a ferry was used to cross a lake formed by the earthquake. After the Second World War, when Jack served as a captain in the Home Guard, Jack expanded the business to include tourism, rental cars, freight, even the development of the Mutiri Hills. Jack also had an interest in aviation. He was an original member of the Nelson Aero Club, and in 1934 he was a founding member of the Cook Strait Airways, which was nationalised in 1945 to form part of New Zealand National Airways Corporation, which has now become Air New Zealand. Jack was an outstanding sportsman. He played rugby at fullback for the Nelson Rugby Football Club and became chairman of Nelson Rugby Union's management. His greatest achievement was in cricket, where he played for New Zealand in three tests from 1931 to 1933. He went on to become a national selector and manager, president and life member of the New Zealand Cricket Council, a founder and president of the New Zealand Cricket Foundation. Other sporting achievements include being a Nelson golf representative, a vice president of the Nelson Jockey Club, and a local champion in bowls. As well as business and sporting talent, Jack was a public-spirited man, serving on the committee of the Nelson College Old Boys Association. He was a Nelson College governor for 21 years, a founding member of the Rotary Club of Nelson, and a Nelson City Councillor from 1944 to 1953. He worked successfully for the creation of Founders Heritage Park, was a member of the Cathedral Building Appeal Committee, and active in many community organisations. He was awarded a CBE in 1963 and a Knight Bachelor in 1977 for his services to the country. His achievements are legendary, and his business and sporting involvement took him to all parts of New Zealand and overseas. But Sir Jack seemed always so pleased to return to his wife and four daughters and their comfortable home here in Nelson.
On the corner of Brougham and Collingwood is 224 Collingwood Street, number 6 on your map, and a private residence.
This charming house was designed by William Beatson and commissioned by William Moses Stanton in 1865. William Moses Stanton arrived in Nelson on the Clifford in 1842. He was aged 13 and came with his father William, mother Mary, and four siblings. He went on to have many occupations, including teacher, insurance salesman, storekeeper, and publican. He became a clerk to the courts and during this time handled the Wairau Massacre depositions. By 1848, he was a full-time librarian and married Sarah Lee Hodson in 1850, who unfortunately died giving birth to their twins. He remarried in 1853 to Ellen Elizabeth James, who had come to New Zealand with her mother on the Fifeshire. Stanton commissioned the house to accommodate his mother Mary and his mother-in-law Sarah James, who were both widows. Each lady was to have their own sitting room and bedroom, but the kitchen was to be shared. It is believed Stanton himself lived at 214 Collingwood Street when the two properties had large sections that were adjacent. In 1899, the cottage was bought by Mr. Percy Boland Adams, the owner of Melrose House, for Joseph Bush. his manservant and gardener. Joseph Henry Bush was born in the Aniseed Valley and attended Hope School. At the age of 15, he left home and came to Nelson looking for work. Percy Adams gave him a home and employment at Melrose. Joseph became a keen and well-respected gardener, responsible for creating a wonderful garden at this cottage and also the tree plantings at Melrose. He held this position until he died in 1937. Joseph lived in this house with his first wife Sarah and baby Isabel, but as so often happened in those days, Sarah died in her early 20s. Joseph remarried and a family of four girls and two sons lived here. Joseph also served in a voluntary military unit and his favourite pastimes were hunting and shooting. In 1951, 224 Collingwood Street was purchased by Mrs. Lucy Alburn, a young widow. The garden was smaller than the original as it had been subdivided, and the house had been renovated inside, but it still retained many of the original exterior features admired by Mrs. Alburn when she had walked past the cottage as a child. Mrs. Alburn's daughter tells the story that her mother, on hearing the cottage was for sale, couldn't resist having a look at it, and in spite of having already bought a section on a nearby hillside, fell in love with the cottage and consequently bought it to the delight of her two young children. Mrs. Alburn looked after the cottage and garden lovingly for 54 years.
Cross Collingwood Street with care, as it can be a busy corner. Interpretive panels relating to the Grampians can be seen on the upper side of the street. Continue along Broome Street to reach number 46 Broome Street, which is number 7 on your map. This private residence is well back on a sloping section.
This house was designed in the 1930s for Charles Griffin and has an interesting slate-covered roof. It has a Historic Places Trust Category 2 rating. The architect was Arthur Griffin, who designed it for his cousin Charles and his family. Charles was the grandson of John Griffin, the founder of the successful Griffin Biscuit and Confectionery business, which was taken over by his sons when he died. A fire in the mid-1890s destroyed the factory, but in order to rebuild and keep the business going, the sons floated a public company called Griffin & Sons Limited. The new factory also burnt down and a new brick building was constructed in 1903. Demand for Griffin's biscuits became so great that all biscuit making was moved to a brand new factory, but this time in Lower Hutt in 1937. This meant that Charles and his family moved from 46 Broome Street to Wellington as he was to be the manager of the new enterprise. The Nelson Griffin's factory continued to manufacture confectionery after 1937, employing many Nelsonians until it closed in 1988. The house has continued to be a well-loved family home.
Continue along Broome Street to a bend in the road where it joins Scotland Street. Warwick House, number 8 on your map, has huge wrought iron gates, still showing their maker's name from London. The property is privately owned and now used as a boutique bed and breakfast.
Architecturally, Warwick House is one of the finest and largest examples of early Victorian Gothic revivalism still remaining in New Zealand, and was built for Arthur Fell. Fell arrived in Nelson in April 1842 on the third immigrant ship, the Lord Auckland. He was a wealthy immigrant in the new colony, and in 1843 he purchased 20 acres of land on the upper slopes of the city. Originally known as Sunnyside, Warwick House was constructed in 1854 by builder David Goodall. Only 6 months after completion, the house was nearly burnt to the ground by a large fire that swept across the Grampian Mountains. It was only saved by the release of all nearby prison inmates to help with the water carrying. Fell's influence in the colony saw many sentences reduced as a reward for the prisoners' services. Fell married Fanny Seymour and went into business with her father, Henry, as Fell and Seymour. On returning to England in the 1860s, Alfred Fell sold his house and business to Nathaniel Edwards, a leading Nelson businessman and founder of the Anchor Shipping Line. Edwards then undertook two major expansions. Firstly, a new wing on the southern side, encompassing 15 rooms and two towers. Then, the three-story north wing with a ballroom, and a four-story tower. Upon completion, the house had approximately 50 rooms and still has over 30 today. Edwards died only a few years after making these additions. In 1880, his estate was valued at the incredible amount of £800,000 sterling, which would equate to around £90 million in today's terms. The 1890s saw Sunnyside leased to Sir David Munro, who was an MP and one of Nelson's leading early politicians. Thereafter, it was operated as a gentleman's boarding house, and then it closed up for around 10 years. When Charles Farrison purchased the property in 1915, the estate was slightly smaller, as part of the land had been donated to the Nelson City Council for the creation of Seymour Avenue, named after Alfred Fell's wife, Fanny. Farrison found part of the house had been damaged while boarded up, so he decided to remove the south wing. In the late 1920s, Warwick House was passed to the Rout family. They turned the gentlemen's smoking rooms and the servants' quarters into apartments in about 1942. The original curved internal stairs were removed in 1945, and the ballroom was also turned into an apartment. Well-known local artist Jane Evans lived in that ballroom flat for several years. Also during the late 1940s, most of the exterior of the house was stuccoed over, and the huge two-level conservatory was mostly removed. Since commencing renovations in early 2003, the new owners, Nick and Jenny Ferrier, have been inundated with visits by previous owners, their descendants, and former tenants who have read or heard about the renovations. Each has contributed to the information on the 150-year history, with drawings, paintings, maps, titles, photos, letters, and even some large and very ornate lead-light windows were returned after being stored at the local provincial museum. Major features of the house include two oriel windows facing west, with their 15 rounds of decorative timber all held together by large handmade nails, five large bay windows, the 1,000-square-foot grand ballroom with sprung 28-millimeter mattai dancing floor, and the original Victorian walnut paintwork effects. Not to forget the four-story octagonal tower with a large peaked lead roof, six original fireplaces, numerous internal arches and scrolls, original dados, picture rails, architraves and cornices. The walls are all lathe and plaster, which took 2 years to fully cure. 7,000 Welsh slate tiles were used for the roof, and the cast iron gates and gateposts were also brought out from England in the 1840s. Finds so far during the renovations over the past 2 years have included a hidden wine cellar and four grand archways, a set of internal stairs, the original bell wire system, several antique doors found in an old garage, the original coal gas piping system, and also the blade of an old duelling sword that was found in the base of the tower. The Norfolk pine in the front garden dates from 1850. The large oak on Seymour Avenue was planted by Alfred Fell in 1842. And one of the few people to remember the house as a grand residence is a Mrs. Daisy Jenner, now 98 and living in a rest home near Nelson. And she was the housekeeper here from 1928 to 1935 and has a room named after her.
We have now completed our walk. To return to the information centre and your starting point, retrace your steps along Broome Street and turn right into Trafalgar Street South. The cathedral on Church Hill can be seen ahead. Go through the grounds to Lower Trafalgar Street and the Civic House clock tower is clearly visible and eyesight is diagonally opposite. Alternatively, you can walk down Collingwood Street until you reach Halifax Street. You will know you are approaching Halifax Street when you get closer to the green-painted Collingwood Street Bridge, which spans the Maitai River. Turn left into Halifax Street to reach the eyesight.
We hope you have enjoyed the Dress Circle walk. For more heritage trails around Nelson, go to the Nelson City Council website, www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz, and use the search phrase Heritage Walks, or simply contact the Arts and Heritage team leader at Nelson City Council.